everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
So you want to see the playroom, guys?
Yes, I do.
Eh?
And in the playroom, we have Colin Sparling.
You can play with this. You can play with that.
PlayStation 4.
PlayStation 4. Switchy.
Y'all want to play with some AirPod Pros or an Amazon gift card of equal value?
Oh, shoot.
Whoa. Because we'll give that to you if you leave us a written review on the Apple Podcasts app or iTunes, because then you're in the running for a contest that we're running where we will give you said item or the other item, whatever your preference is. Mm-hmm. It just has to be a written review.
Yes. And also just email it to us, Discord it to us, Twitter it to us. What are the
There's a
ones?
Lot of ways to contact yes. us. Just make sure we know that you are the person that wrote the thing and then your name is in the hat, whatever that username might be.
Mm-hmm. Take these AirPod Pros off our hands, please. There's too many here. We need to create more room in this giant studio.
For some reason, we're drowning in just AirPod Pros.
Yes. My chair is made of AirPod Pros.
A million. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Wait, what if their username is like Tekashi 6969420 no scope XX
XXX?
We're going to shame you for that, but you'll still be in the hat.
How dare you? How dare you shame such a privileged person to have such a great
Who
name?
Who am I shaming? Tekashi 6969696.
Tekashi 69
no scope.
No, but for this week's episode, we are talking about episode 18 of Tokyo 2019-2020. This is the first of many. Hey, if you're playing a drinking game and you're not driving, drink every time we say bros before hoes.
I'm bros drinking right
before
now.
Hoes.
Oh, God.
Ask a question at the top of the podcast here?
Only at the top.
How do y'all feel about that phrase?
Okay. Hmm. So bros before hoes is hilarious. But it seemed very rude to say at the table at the end of this episode in front of Kaori. And it's like
in
something
front of
that
the hose.
It's like
in front of the hose. Yeah.
In front of the
it's just like it's locker room talk. Okay. As someone who has had a lot of experience in locker rooms, it's really just not good to say out in public. It's rude.
What are you doing in locker rooms?
Like, you know, playing football.
A whole lot
hockey.
Of experience. In locker
Wait,
rooms.
You play football yeah. in the locker rooms?
No, you get ready though. Guys, okay, the way sports works.
We don't know.
Gotta get dressed.
We're fucking nerds.
I get it. Yeah, anyways, so yeah, I've heard a lot of fucking dumb shit said in locker rooms, and bros before hoes is way low on the totem pole of shit I've heard people say. But nevertheless, it is still rude. And I can't believe they said it on the show in front of the girls, and it's hilarious.
Now, the issue that I take with it's not so
Can
much that
it?
Was said, bros before hoes, but the way our boy Pepe decided to break it down and give like the full-blown history and heritage of the phrase bros before hoes. He's like,
young
well,
Yurka,
you see,
yeah.
It is a phrase that American people say to each other, you know, when like you never put women before your boys. You don't put
first in
and
line.
Just the way he said it is like he made it sound like it is so ingrained in our American dialect.
And one of the best parts too is when Ruka goes hose,
hose?
Question mark.
I mean, yeah, because every day I'm just like going up to my friends and be like, "Yeah, man, bros before hoes, right? Yeah, like every day." Every day of our lives.
See,
what a phrase.
It makes me think, like, okay, so I had two back-to-back thoughts about this, right? When Pepe said it's a very common phrase in English, I was like, bullshit, man. Like, you know English. you know it's not. You're leading them down this false path. But
keep in mind, too, he went to college in America, right? And he played sports, well, I think, too. So that's probably...
That was Rio.
He heard it a lot, probably.
That was Rio.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah Pepe, right. though. Pepe also knows English. So he knows at least enough, I'd hope. Where it's not as common a phrase as he says. But then on the other side of it, I thought, wait a minute, is this what Japanese people think when like Americans always say shit like kawaii des and stuff, where it's like,
oh my god,
since they know that one cringe. Japanese phrase, they're like, oh yeah, no, Japanese people say this all the time. They always, like, whenever they see anything, they're just like, oh, that's kawaii des. You know,
that's kind of how he propped it up. Yeah, I think, and I already have a theory about this. I think he was just doing it to stunt in front of Rio, like to look cool.
Mm.
Yeah, it felt like a very, like, I don't know, like boys club moment, like the way that they've been like joshing around with each other. But speaking as a hoe, I am not a big fan of the phrase, literally. All eyes just went, what?
Coming from a hoe.
Coming from a hoe.
Let's get the hoe perspective.
I mean, that's what the phrase essentially is. It's like, all women could be a hoe in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
there's no telling which hoes.
Excuse me, I prefer thought. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I identify as a thought.
Hello, my name is Tatiana. Yikes. Thank you very much.
The whole thing rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, I'm not liking this.
I'm really thinking something got lost in translation here. I don't think that they really understand the insulting context of the word hoe.
Rio understands it's a rude thing to say. Yeah, I just can't believe they said it at the table. Like, that's just like,
I think they totally get it. I think because they even said like it's a derogatory term for women.
Don't use that word, man. Not
but
cool.
They didn't go on to say like don't use it, because then they just kept using it.
Yeah.
And poor Ruka there. I saw like the wheels turning in Ruka's head, or like trying to. He was like, hose. Okay, hose, women, but it's bad. I'm so afraid he's going to use it in a context that he really shouldn't.
Ruka's got like three things he knows in English, and now hose is one of them.
Yeah. I think my biggest worry is we're just going to one day, like 3 weeks from now, Ruka's just going to come downstairs and is like, oh, are the girls in the hose room? And just think that like that's a normal thing to say. And it's like, no, Ruka, please don't learn from your terrible senpai.
Dude. You know what? It's going to be like that moment from Rush Hour where Jackie Chan thought the N-word was okay to say.
He's going to be at the
club.
Jeez.
And he just throws it out there. The guy's like, what the fuck did you just say?
Ruka's going to be like cooking one night. And he's like, hey, you hoes want broccoli in your pasta?
Oh, my God.
So do we get it out of our system?
Not really. We got to talk about this.
We'll talk about the scene when we get to it. But
let's build up to
this episode.
We have a lot.
This episode is the definition of whiplash. You know, like if Bros Before Hoes wasn't said in the episode, I would say whiplash would be a great name for it. Right. Because it starts out with this magnificent date on the beach, or Emmy and Pepe go to the beach each. Let's get away. And it starts off in this cute little moment. Thank you, Daily, for the eyes, for the staring. But it's Pepe downstairs. He's working on something, headphones in, and then Emmy scares him. And he doesn't even have headphones in, right? He just kind of scares him. He didn't hear her.
Yeah, he's focused. This man focuses.
Oh, yeah. But there's this cute little interaction between them where he's like, oh, I really like, something's different about you. She's like, oh, is it too much makeup? And he says, no, it looks good on you. You look cute. You know? It was nice. It was like,
it was really funny when he was calling her cute too, because she acted very taken aback. Like, she was surprised that he said that so offhandedly.
Mm. She was like,
it was one of the first times she's ever heard it in her life. It's the way she reacted. She's like, wait, what did you just say to me? And I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. Like, call someone cute. I think it's cool. Anyway.
Yeah. But then they go to Zushi Beach in Kanagawa. They drive all the way down to Shonan, right? And I don't know. It was a really happy day. And it made me realize this is maybe the first good date of almost all of Tokyo 2019, 2020.
Little bit.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It was a really solid date.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Now that we think about it in retrospect. And also, like, Pepe is shy, though, guys, right? But he'll just, like, come up and say a girl's pretty at the diner table. But shy boy.
He's very shy.
It was good vibes, though. The weather was nice. The beach was nice. You know, they thought it was going to rain, and it really wasn't that bad. It was pretty sunny.
Mm.
And Pepe, when he threw the ball out the water and was just frolicking out there, it just reminded me of, like, when you're playing catch with a puppy dog, like a really happy puppy that's just excited to be outside. That was kind of the energy. His tail was wagging. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Pepe the puppy.
Pepe the puppy was peppy. Say it really fast.
Pepe the puppy was peppy. It had such a happy energy. And I think that all stems from this discussion that they have when they're eating, I think, pizza, right? At the beach club is the name of this little shack where they have the food. They're drinking Coloronas with lime. It's a nice vibe. And Pepe tells this little story about how he was on a bus in Venezia and caught eyes with this one girl across the bus from him. And then started kind of mirroring her actions. She'd pull her hair back behind her ear. He would do the same, you know? And at the end of that little exchange, he didn't talk to her because he was too shy, allegedly. And allegedly a shy boy.
Damn, I have been there. I don't know. I think everyone kind of gets in those situations at some point or another where they're like, you know, clearly someone's probably hitting on you or at least making eyes at you. And nothing happens. I've had it happen before, man. It's disappointing. Mm. It's disappointing.
The more Pepe says, like, I'm shy, and then gives, like, an example story of, like, how he's been shy, I'm like, that doesn't sound like shy to me. But we do have to keep in mind that there is, like a cultural difference here. I'm not nearly as familiar with Italian culture as I am with Japanese culture. But in Japanese culture, the things that he's doing is, like, well, damn, that's pretty forward of you. Mm. Whereas maybe that's pretty weak in Italian culture. I mean, that's what his manga is all about that he's working on.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What I will say is that Europeans in general tend to be very forward in cases of like dating and courting and stuff like that. So I think he might be shy in terms of those standards. I mean, some of the Europeans I've met are even more forward than Americans in a lot of ways.
I mean, it's easy too to stand out in Japan. I mean, you're basically public enemy number one if you just like say a word on the subway in the morning, right? Like, you know, it's just like you get everyone's attention there. And I also want to shout out to Nyla in our Discord, who had a really interesting comment as well, just talking about pointing out the absurdity kind of and the irony of when Pepe says he wants to change Japanese people's stereotype of Italian people, but then he makes pasta, he makes Italian drinks, he, you know, has his own espresso machine, and it's just pretty funny because he's like so Italian, but he's just basically trying to introduce the house to that culture too. I think it's pretty funny.
Well, so what I say about that is if there are certain trends you want to buck, sure, but that doesn't mean you just renounce everything Italian. Like, he was born and raised in Italy. Like, it would be weird for him to be like, you know, his friends and family are like, oh, you want some espresso this morning? He's like, no, that's too Italian for me. I don't want to look or be or feel like an Italian. Thanks. That's pretty stereotypical and racist, mom. I'd rather have a cheeseburger.
All this in Japanese.
In Japanese, of course. Yeah. And she understands.
I'd rather have a cheeseburger.
Yeah, for breakfast. You know what I mean? It's like there are some things that maybe it is a stereotype, but maybe that doesn't mean you have to not do it. Like, just because it's a stereotype, you know?
That's fair.
I think maybe the things he's trying to buck are the ideas of, I don't know, having your first kiss at 8 years old. I think that's weird. But the fact that Japanese people seem to have that stereotype of Italians, I could see why he'd want to break that trend, perhaps.
Robert, sounds like you want to fight our Discord.
I do.
Need to punch you out about
this. 1v1 me tomorrow night.
Meet me in the pit.
In the pit.
Meet me in the pit.
I don't know. I mean, that's just my take on it, is that, or, you know, nurture and nature. You kind of grow up to be accustomed to certain things depending on where you grew up. It is what it is. But moving on with the scene, Pepe also kind of drops cute little hints to Emmy, like, oh, you must be so popular with the guys because you're so cute, which is such a, like, passive way to say you're cute, you know, like, just say it. Yeah. But Emmy returns it. She's like, oh, hey, but you're so happy that I feel like I have to be happy around you. Like, you lift me up. You know, you raise the spirits of me in the house. And the date ends on a cute little note where they take selfies and they're like, oh, I'm so glad I got to take your first terrace house date and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they do make a point of saying, like, he kind of just makes everyone in the room or everyone around him just happy. And he does sort of emanate that energy. When he came into the house, we basically said that he's livened Terrace House up for this season. He's made a huge difference. Ever since he stepped into the house, everyone just seems like they're in a generally better mood. So, I mean, I think that holds true. And he's just a generally happy and kind of silly guy. We can see that with the selfie he's taking with his glasses on, his sunglasses on upside down when they're taking a selfie together.
Yeah, and it's important to note, too, that I seem to remember when he had his first chins and shins scene, you know, that he was mainly talking about this is going to be good for my career. This is the next step. I don't remember him ever mentioning, correct me if I'm wrong, though, about like falling in love or there to date or there to meet girls or anything really like that. More to break Italian stereotypes. Now, of course, you can't predict what's going to happen right in the future. So, but it's just interesting that now it would seem by this episode, he definitely is interested in Emika. And she was there mainly to find love. That was like one of her big goals there. And it's just interesting to see that play out.
Mm. I do find it funny that, yeah, you're right. I forgot that he said that I'm going to Terrace House for my career, right? Like, because it'll help with my career. But maybe falling in love does help with his career because he's writing like a rom-com manga, right? And he needs to do research.
Yeah. Also, shout out to the Discord second time for throwing up a link to chapter one of his manga that was translated in English.
Mingo.
And I got to read some of it. And I think Ruka's in it. Did you guys see that?
Ruka's like,
he owes Ruka some money because Ruka, like his likeness, it's him, definitely. And so I was like, wow, this is like, he's just straight using Ruka here.
Oh, hold on.
And
Spider-Man or Ruka?
It's Ruka. Yeah. Look, just easily go watch confused. It again. Go look at it after the show. I'm telling you, man, that's definitely Ruka. Like, it's not like ambiguous at all, I think. But anyways, I'll be honest with you. Like, I like Pepe a lot, but the manga was not necessarily for me. It was a little strange. Definitely some full frontal nudity. So there's that for you if you're looking for that for the Digimon fans out there.
Yes.
Yes. The Digimon fans.
Okay. Let's just not give any context to that. No, whatsoever.
We won't.
What context?
No, we will not. Let him wonder.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the shitro happens.
The shitro happens. Yes. And then we kick into the first floor. And this scene is kind of sad. Now looking back at it, because, you know, it starts off happy with Emmy and Pepe being like, oh, we had so much fun at the beach. And then Shohei comes out and then Ruka wants to take selfies and stuff underwater. So he wraps his phone in a Ziploc bag. And then he and Shohei make their last memories together. And under the pool, in the pool with taking selfies and video selfies together.
We didn't know that at the time. It was so bittersweet because I just thought, oh, this is a cool moment for the guys. They're hanging out. There's camaraderie. They're being bros, right? That's the word we're going to use this week. They're being good bros to each other. And I was like, this is just a really nice moment. I miss this stuff. This is the stuff I really like in Terrace House. And then we learn, sadly, that Joey had an agenda.
I gotta say, though, those like underwater selfies, like the videos that they were actually pretty good. I was totally skeptical of when Ruka was like, oh, I can just put my phone in a Ziploc bag and it's fine. And I was like, this is going to end with him being like, I have to go buy a new phone. I killed my phone. Yeah. It's at the bottom of the pool. I don't have the technology to fix it. I haven't found my Mr. Stark yet. Like, so that's really nice that he actually has like these really nice selfies with Shohei. And Shohei at the very end of that scene was like, looking down at the video like with this smile, and again it is so bittersweet knowing what we do now.
It just makes that whole scene kind of like there are many ways to rewatch Terrace House, but I think if I rewatch that scene I would maybe tear a little, like just one tear, just this is so sad, you know.
One tear underwater,
just an underwater tear. It's a good day for rain kind of tear, you know.
But lost in time, like tears and rain.
But while we're on the topic of technology and Ruka, I need to point this out because I think we would be remiss not mentioning this. This is to substitute this week's episode of what's the darndest thing Ruka's gonna say. I already forgot the tagline for it, but
Ruka says the darndest things.
Thank you. On Reddit last week, there was this gif of someone who actually made web shooters. Like real web shooting. Like, so he strapped him to the wrist and pointed it at a door, and the web shot out, and he could actually pull the door closed.
Web shooters.
Functional, real web shooters. Someone got this in front of Ruka's eyes, because on Ruka's Instagram story, there's a video of that GIF with text that says something like, thank you for showing me the thing I've always wanted.
Oh.
So what's going to happen.
I'm just saying, we're one
I'm
step
waiting
closer.
For it.
We're one step closer.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say he actually got them and has video of himself using them.
I mean, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, next
right?
week. Yeah. We'll find it next week.
And then he's going to be on the ceiling after that.
Yes.
Guys, Christmas just came very late or very early, depending on how you look at it.
Wow.
Same. But yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in now because Ruka isn't in this episode that much. So might as well give him his due where I can.
Then, while
Shohei and Ruka are having fun in the pool, we head to the kitchen where it's just Pepe and Haruka now. And this is also a bit of a sad scene in its own way where Haruka says, hey, you still want to go to the cafe, right? And Pepe's response here, I just want to compare it to how he was on the date with Emmy this morning. His response was, I'm going to be very busy, but I can make time.
It is very telling that Haruka, like, gets the attention of guys from a physical perspective, but then for whatever reason, she's not able to keep their interest. Because remember, her and Risako a few weeks back had that talk already where they're like, hey guys, show more initiative, ask us out. And like, I thought Haruka and Pepe already had something going, but they never got any time on the calendar. So she has to like nudge him, like, Pepe, hey, remember me? Hey, remember we're gonna do that thing? And it's like, what is causing that? Because it seems to be a pattern for her. I just wonder.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I can really pinpoint it to a reason or a few reasons. What do you think, Daily?
I just read it as like he really wanted to go to the beach, but I'm not going to discount like that Emika has been making some moves in the house toward making herself very attractive to the guys. I mean, this is like the third time since it's happened that we've referred back to like the hip cocked, like, drink a beer with me. Mm. Like that's forever going to be like seared in both Shohei and Pepe, who was also on the couch at that moment. Yeah. Like their brains forever.
It proved to be a moment. Yeah.
It's a moment, but I don't think that same kind of impression has happened with Haruka, other than like they had some fun playing Let's Go Eevee. I think that shouldn't be discounted, but I don't think it's like nearly as like dang.
Mm.
Yeah,
I do find this whole moment interesting because now we're seeing Haruka pursue someone, right? And we saw this happen a little bit in the early days with Kenny, but I feel that she is a lot more taken by Pepe. And this just reminds me of back in the early days of T20. Remember how the panelists said that Haruka has the grass is greener on the other side mentality? She always wants what the others have. Now, she's the one trying to get in on what the other, like, someone is basically trying to take her man away from her in a way, you know? Where suddenly...
My man, that's my man.
Suddenly, I think she's on a losing battle that she wasn't expecting, because she was definitely very cocky about it all in the beginning with the Pokemon Center trip and the Let's Go play. Like, she thought,
she's like, I got this.
Oh yeah, she thought Pepe was a lock, and then all of a sudden, Emika walks in,
and she knows too that the other guys, you know, are not viable. Shohei and Ruka at this time in the house, and so really Pepe's only kind of person she has interest in going on a date on,
for sure.
Date with.
I get the feeling that Haruka might be the next person who leaves the house.
Not this episode.
Well,
not this episode.
Sadness.
But I think I get the feeling because she had that talk with Shohei, and I don't. Right now, it doesn't look good with Pepe either. So if she doesn't find something with Pepe, then I think that might end up with her leaving the house.
I don't know. She seems pretty comfortable. Like, I get that she's comfy. Like, I don't even know really what she does. She hasn't driven her Corvette in a while. She's not really working. It seems like she's just complacent, right? That's what they talked about on the roof.
Yeah, but Jack, complacency is the problem. Getting comfortable is the problem. You should leave if you're too comfortable.
Yeah, Shohei.
Is the message of this episode, I guess. Question mark.
Yeah, let's just rip that Band-Aid off, right? So in the next scene here, we're in the bros room. Where
before host.
Where Pepe is sleeping ass out, boxers out. He's just fucking knocked out.
Those aren't me undies. Pepe?
He's sleeping the most comfortable way, though, guys. Does anyone put a pillow between their legs as they sleep?
No.
Yeah, I have to actually.
Try
like
it.
My knees, yeah.
It's nice. It's good. It's good for your knees. It's good for your hips.
If you're a side sleeper,
before you knock it.
Yeah, if you're a side sleeper, give it a shot.
Interesting.
I need another pillow.
Well, there you go. That Pepe's teaching us new things, even in his sleep. That's how good of a teacher Pepe is. But while he's asleep, we see Shohei. He's packing his bags. And Ruka, the dense motherfucker.
Hey, Shohei, what are you doing? What are you doing over there?
Yeah, it's what's like, going on? I'm packing. Oh, for what? You got a trip soon? Yeah, huh? I'm going away.
Forever.
To where?
wait, what? Where are you going? It was the saddest thing. It was like Lassie saying goodbye to Timmy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, well, the Ruka, like, lack of understanding.
Yeah. Well, Ruka, there's a, you know, they say they struck gold over there in California.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to head west and get myself some gold.
Oh. Time to hit the old dusty trail. I mean, listen, though, like, to be fair, weren't we all shocked? I was shocked. I didn't see this coming out of anywhere. No. I thought he was going to, like Tori-chan said, I thought that when he said, you know, you can't be complacent, this isn't a place to be complacent, I thought it meant that he's going to kind of, you know, straighten up a little bit and maybe try and court Emika. No, he meant, I'm out of here. I'm peacing out, deuces, packing up. And by the way, I'm not saying bye to anybody. And it's just like, I can't. Okay. U.S. International Netflix Terrace House episodes, right? Barring BGND. I don't think anyone's left like this before. This is a first for Terrace House to go out this unceremoniously in the middle of the night. It was probably like 4 or 5 a.m. I don't remember. Maybe they put the time up there. But I was shocked. And I was kind of like, you know what? Like, I kind of get the thought, the mentality to not have everyone crying and hugging you and leaving and having like the music swell and this big pomp and circumstance when you leave. But it's just like to go unannounced.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, there's a certain coldness there, but it makes sense for who he is, you know, like Tokui said, he's a wanderer, walks the earth, he's a vagabond. He's a ronin.
What really struck me about this entire thing is that as much as like he like went to Kaori to be like, you know, people think you're kind of like a goody two shoes because you don't talk about your problems and you should, you know, open up about your problems more, etc. Have we ever heard about like Shohei's problems really? Other than like the fact that he supports himself in his many, many jobs, like that lifestyle is suited to him. Like all we've ever heard was kind of like him defend that, but never say like, oh yeah, it's a problem though sometimes, or like I struggle with this or I struggle with that. I feel like almost instead of ever owning up to any kind of struggle or, you know, like I guess even negative thing, he was just like, yeet, bye.
Yeah. That's interesting to think about. We haven't seen him have much of a character struggle or like a personal struggle since toward the beginning of the show, when I believe his boss, whatever, for a contract job, or like when he was painting the house or whatever he was doing, he was asking him about his career goals. And he was saying that he was very, you know, wishy-washy about all these different things. And he's like, yeah, you should really focus on one thing. And that's the last time we really heard him talk, frankly, about what he wants to do. He's been doubling down on it since then when it's been brought up in conversation. But it hasn't really been in a long, hard conversation like we've had with Kaori as of late. Not much there.
Ruka strikes me as the kind of person that really doesn't want to burden people with his troubles or with his woes. He seems to compartmentalize a lot of things. Shohei. I'm thinking of the scene here in the room. I'm talking about Shohei. He seems to compartmentalize a lot of things. He doesn't want to burden people with his troubles and his woes. And it just kind of, when it gets to be too much, like I think, you know, he just pieces out. And this is like a pattern in his life, you know, and like Daly said, if you watch a lot of the Another Terrace clips too, there's a couple of those that are just dedicated to him keeping to defending his lifestyle that he currently has. And his friends even say, oh, he's gotten really good at getting around when people like, you know, confront him about it because he has so much, he's so well practiced in it. Mm. And it's just, man, I mean, I can see the allure of wanting to leave like that. Like I could see a part of myself wanting to do that too. Cause when I leave a job or anything like that, it's very much like, listen, I don't need a goodbye party or anything like that. Like, let's just shake hands and you know, pull the band-aid off. But it was tough too, and he left Kaori hanging so high.
That's true.
That was kind of the ultimate statement. I feel like nothing's gonna happen there. I felt really bad for Kaori when she saw that message in the morning and she's like, and he didn't say goodbye. And then she had to like head off to work and didn't have enough time to process that. But I feel like his leaving like that was just an acknowledgement of like, he's not going to change. Like Terrace House didn't really change him whatsoever from like his worldview or like his career or his love life. And that's usually what Terrace House is supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he just stayed stagnant.
And I think just behind the scenes too, real quick, that I also feel like something behind the scenes here happened where he realized that he does not have a chance with Emika. I feel like that. I don't have any evidence to that, but for him to leave so abruptly when he was so interested in her, there had to have been something, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I do think it's interesting that you bring up behind the scenes too, because I think there's a lot more under the hood here too when you think about it. And when you deconstruct the fact that, oh, Terrace House is a reality TV show, right? Because what he essentially did was ghost the house, right? But, but like, he didn't exactly ghost the show. The cameras were still there to catch him leaving. And it wasn't even like they caught him. This wasn't some weird found footage shit. This was deliberately done where there was a cameraman there or a camera person there at 4 or 3 in the morning. Catching him in the kitchen and writing on the blackboard, going out and following him and watching him walk away alone in the rain,
in the pouring rain,
holding a golf club, just a loose golf club in his left hand. Like, you know, that was all planned. This wasn't weird.
Yeah.
You know, like when you plan something like that, he had to have told at least someone, a producer or something.
I
mean, you know,
I think we've established they don't have the cameras there 24/7. So you're right. It had to be coordinated in some sense. Do you guys think, I'm curious here, I just want a question for the table. Do you think it's kind of rude of him to not say a final goodbye to Ruka in the morning when he's leaving, when Ruka expressly stated he wanted to say goodbye to him? How do you guys think about that? How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, 100%. It was rude. It was because Ruka caught him leaving, packing up, right? Like, Ruka knew, Ruka had the forethought to know Shohei is leaving this house in the next 24 hours. So please, I'm going to wake up early just to say goodbye to you. And Shohei just, Shohei's just playfully like, well, it just depends on how early I get up. Full well knowing in his head, like, I'm just going to stay up and leave.
It's important to note, too, here that Ruka, like, did him a solid and, like, kept the secret, even though I'm sure Ruka wanted to tell everyone in the house. Like, hey, he's leaving. Hey, say something. Say goodbye, you know? But he was like, no, he doesn't. He wants to go out quietly. I'll respect that. Mm. You know, I will say, though, I think that if you watch the show back, I think when they played Ruka sleeping and then they had the alarm sign going off, that seemed edited to me for dramatic effect.
Kind of.
I didn't really. Yeah. So, but I want to hear from you, too, Daly, and you, Colin. What did you think of that?
Yeah. So, gosh. So, I don't think that. I mean, he expressly did not want to see anyone when he left, including Ruka. He didn't want to see anyone. So he knew Ruka was going to try and get up early. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to get up even earlier than that if he slept at all. So, I mean, he did what he set out to do. And you could take it as it being rude. You could take it as like that just suits who he is. And it's not really that surprising. but I think the main takeaway is that Shohei's arc in the house was in some senses non-existent.
Disappointing.
He didn't really change much as a person since being in the house, and whether or not that goodbye was like him, I really wonder what went through his head that like, hey, I'm getting too comfortable, so I'm going to leave instead of staying in the house and actually changing. You know, did he cheat himself?
For me, it was a lot less like, and I know I'm the one that was like, he was acknowledging that he wasn't going to change, but I feel like the lack of goodbye specifically was, he didn't want to have to explain himself to anyone because they were going to ask, like, why are you leaving? What are you doing? Why do you feel like you need to leave? Because the reason is that rather than like, oh, I don't feel like I'm going to change here or whatever. Like, he could do that. That would just be paying lip service. But the truth, I think, would be like, I thought I was going to have a romantic prospect and that's not happening clearly. So bye.
So you agree with me then? You think something happened where he realized that the door was never going to be open with Emika?
Yeah. Am I reading that right? I feel like he was holding on for that. He was maybe he was originally holding on for, you know, something to happen with Haruka or even something to happen with Kaori, because, you know, they both admitted that they liked each other. But now that all that has fallen through, it's like, what's the point of being here? Especially if it's just going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm. Can I paint a picture for the house real quick?
Yes.
Let's go back to that scene where it was before Ruka and Shohei went to go swimming selfies, right? Shohei comes out of his room. He sees most of the house sitting around at the table, and he sits down next to Pepe, kind of across from Emmy, if I remember right. And while he's there, just chatting and hanging out and having fun, and this stuff I'm thinking of is happening in, like, footage we didn't see. He starts seeing a little bit of the way Emmy's eyeing Pepe. A little bit of the way Pepe is eyeing Emmy. You know, it's a little bit of, their date must have went really well today. And maybe that was the moment he decided, I'm going home.
Because they went on the first date. Yeah, weren't they planning, Shohei planning something with Emika, I thought?
They went to lunch. They went to lunch.
Oh, they had that date already. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think they had, like, let's hang out again.
Yeah. He got the sense, and he didn't, I guess they didn't talk about bros before hoes.
Not yet.
Not yet. Point. He missed that.
Yeah, I wonder if Shohei knows about bros before hoes.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
What if?
Oh no.
He's not upset about Emika. He's upset about Pepe.
That's it. That's the one.
Well, he's gone that now.
He's upset that Pepe likes Emika.
There it is.
He wanted to be liked by Pepe. He thought that this was going to happen.
We got to the bottom of it.
Yes. While he was packing his bags, he just looked up to Pepe. I'm never going to see that sweet ass again. And he just kept packing his bags.
Oh my God.
He wanted that to just be his final image.
You know, to go back to what Colin was saying, like, I like the guy. He had a lot of moments, especially in Other Terrace, where he gave his tooth stories. His tooth popped out on Kenny. I mean, there's a lot of cool memories with Shohei, and I'm sure he'll come up again in the future. There's never really been anyone quite like him in Terrace House that I can think of. But I am ultimately, I guess, disappointed with his tenure in the house, because it was really just like he came in, was a plateau, never moved, never wavered, spent the entire time defending himself, and then left unchanged. Didn't seem like he grew at all. Or attain any of his goals.
I would like to think that the reason why Shohei left is because he didn't feel like this was his environment to change. There was, like, because he felt that he was so comfortable there, he didn't feel like there was anything he could do there to grow himself as a person. So I'm gonna hope that this means now he can leave, go somewhere else that's outside of his comfort zone, and gain some experiences that change him.
Maybe he'll go back to Taiwan. Start acting.
Maybe.
Alternate theory about Shohei here. We know that he's replaced by Ryo, right? The basket boy. What if behind the scenes voodoo stuff going on, the producers are like, we're really trying to nail down this an athlete, because it's the Olympics, right? We're trying to nail, but we don't know exactly what week he can move in. He's busy with stuff. And then last minute, oh, he can move in on this day. Shohei, you have to move out by this day.
Shohei, get out.
So what if he was sort of not kicked out, but nudged out?
Dang.
Conspiracy. I mean, our boy Ryo did move in the same day.
Yeah, he came in the night that Shohei left in the morning. I'm just saying. Maybe. But
they shamed him. They were like, dude, you're not doing anything. You're driving our ratings down. Get out.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah, you wonder about that. That has been brought up before. Like, I wonder if they're, like, gently, or maybe not so gently, nudged out when things are, again, not making any progress. Tell that to Armand, though.
Hey, but Armand,
they couldn't.
People liked Armand. And he could probably beat up anyone who told him to leave.
I thought people, you know, I will say in the community and on Reddit and everything, I got the general sense that there was a positive disposition to Shohei overall. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely around this
podcast. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people were speaking negative about him.
Yeah, and hey, listen to this, guys. Throw your comments below. We want to hear what you guys think about Shohei's time in the house.
Yeah.
But thanks for everything, Shohei. We appreciate you.
Sayonara, Shohei-kun.
Just like this episode gave us whiplash, bam, Ryo Tawatari. Let's talk about him, because the show basically goes straight into him, right? We see his preview, his chins and shins. We're in Isogo Kanagawa, and he's playing basketball.
We see his abs, most importantly.
Very much his abs.
We do see his abs.
Now, I will say, when I saw the basketball stuffs happening, my brain for a split second was like, did Rui Hachimura fucking pull off the ultimate, like, on the panel for 2 weeks and now on the show?
Oh, he's in the NBA, man.
Yeah, he's too busy.
That would be so cool.
That would have been great, but
yeah, that'd be wild.
Yeah, no, they're we're introduced to Rio. They're playing some really weird, like, off Three Doors Down music. It's very Three Doors Down esque. Is what I remember it being in the international release.
Yikes!
It's butt rock.
It's very butt rock. But it's the classic. You know, he tells his friends, "Hey guys, I'm going to Tara's house tonight." Actually,
tonight.
Yeah. Huh? Daily, did you have a thought on it?
Oh, I was just so worried, like, when they started in on the butt rock, because usually on the with the butt rock, it's like, and then cut to a skate park. Mm. Like, as much as we, you know, kind of half-heartedly complain about all the models, after OND, I'm no more skater boy. No more skater boy. I need new boy. And now we have new boy. We have basket boy. And I'm happy with that.
Basket boy.
So you would like to say, boy, see you later, boy, to all the skater boys?
Stop it. Stop. It hurts.
We've gotten a lot of board boys. We've had a surfer, a snowboarder, a couple skateboarders. Like, we're getting up there.
If I can put a request, and I'd love to see a pro gamer, like, just set up his battle station in the house and just, like, be there at all times.
That would be interesting.
Oh, I like it.
He steals Pepe.
Pro gaming hard. Yeah,
he steals Pepe's drink.
And then they all are having dinner at the dining room table, and then someone just brings him a bowl of ramen at his battle station.
Hold on, you hear everyone eating dinner quietly, but then just the corner you hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like poop socking it. Yeah.
Oh my god. He walks into the. They're like, "Hey man, it's time for dinner." He's like, "All right." He brings out his like Acer Predator fucking
like, ultra wide 3440x1440p mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, slams
RGB.
It down. Built in full blown mechanical keyboard on a laptop.
My man
plays StarCraft right there in front of him. Yeah,
I would love that.
Oh, that'd be good. But no, instead we get a real life athlete boy, a real sports athlete boy.
Hey, you're saying gaming isn't a real sport?
I was about to actually correct myself, because gaming is a real sport, but hey, like a physical sport.
That's a debate
sport
for another show, but Robert, how many packs did he have, man?
How many, excuse me?
How many packs on his stomach was there? Did we count?
I was like, he brought just one bag.
He brought a duffel bag.
He had like...
a duffel bag and a six pack.
A Louis Vuitton duffel bag.
Hold on, everyone in this podcast, is Jackie the only one who paid attention to the abs? Because I definitely not.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. I figured y'all gazing at the girls in the bathing suits will look at this dude's abs. They showed it so clearly, man. It was a shot. I paused it. Just saying.
I will say that this was a step toward equality, because we had the very lingering gaze on Emika taking off her pants to go swimming. Like, it was a long shot, and now we have made it up. The balance is fine, because we saw however many packs
there was a
Rio
was
is packs packing.
Yeah, how many packs is he packing, Jack?
That's what I was asking. How you
many, how many packs would
how many
Rio
packs
pack
is he packing,
if a real
Jack?
Pack could
that's my...
pack
Jack.
Jack.
But we're in the house. We're on the first floor. It's Pepe, Haruka, and Ruka. They're just hanging around. And Haruka kind of just laments, "Oh man, I'm still sad that Shohei left." And Pepe's like, "Wait, Shohei left? He didn't even know until now."
It's evening. Like,
I mean, he's a busy guy. Like we always say, he's very busy. You know, you can barely find time to go to a cafe. But then ping pong. Rio walks in with all six of his packs. I assume. I don't actually know how many packs.
One of them is a Louis Vuitton bag.
True.
Yes. Louis Vuitton.
So, designer pack.
Did anyone else notice when he came in the house how fucking sweaty he was? Beads of sweat on his forehead.
He just came from
it's
practice.
Summer.
And that.
I guess.
They have been saying how hot it is outside.
Mm. He was moist.
Yep. And he walks in with just a duffel bag.
Walks in.
He looks swole. I will say he looks very much like he could beat up everyone in the house.
Which he will.
That's what I think of when people walk in. Could they beat up everyone else?
Are they going to kill everyone?
He's only 5'9". That's short for a basketball player.
That's short for just in America, at least Western culture, that's considered probably, you know, right around that line, which is funny, though. But he's a professional basketball player and he's on a B1 team, which is like the top tier, I think, if I understand that, the B Corsairs. And,
or is it the other way around?
I don't. I think B1 is. I don't know. Someone else knows. Chime in, please.
I don't. Wait, I don't know, but I have a question that you guys might know. What's a point guard?
So,
actually,
I don't
Jack,
know.
Jack, can I take this one? Actually, well.
I'm going to defer to Jack on this.
Oh wait, no, Robert.
I don't know basketball. So,
so you know how in basketball, you score points, the numbers, the points, right? That's what the numbers are called.
Oh God, Robert, this is going to be a dumb answer. Okay.
So the audience in basketball, what they have to do is attack the scoreboard, the points board, if you will. So the point guard has to protect the numbers, so the way his
Cannot
rest
be
of his
more
team
wrong.
Can win the points. Oh, so.
Typically, point guards.
So he's attacking people.
By the way, I don't know basketball that well, so feel free to correct me in the comments too. Okay, but well, from what I understand, is typically point guards are more agile, faster, better ball handlers, better distributors of the ball. They're evaders, right? You have centers and you have other, and you have forwards that are more about scoring and rebounding and overpowering people. Point guards are more kind of like your agile people. They're kind of like the tracer of your Overwatch team.
Mm. Okay. I'm already tracing.
Think of it that way. And so he's 5'9". He's super small. I like what you did there, Dale. And, and it's just like, it's funny because what is Amika, doesn't she say, oh, that's short? 5'9" is like, you just forget, like, yeah, you're in Japan. Pretty much everyone there's probably pretty diminutive when it comes to Western standards, I would think. You know, not stereotype, but 5'9" is pretty tall. And then you realize when, I don't want to get too far ahead, but when he's walking in the convenience store with Kaori here, Kaori's way shorter than him. So I'm like, oh shit, is Kaori like 5'3"? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I just don't think of them that short in my head.
And here I am.
Yeah, the camera certainly, like that proportional sort of sense of height and all that stuff, you get a wrong sense from the camera is really what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, there's a lot of famous actors that are very short. Isn't he like 5'5 or some shit like that?
He's definitely
short. Pretty short too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stands never on know. Apple crepes.
Yeah, that's real.
I don't know. For me, when I saw that scene, I was like, wait, 5'9 is short for basketball? I mean, it makes sense for basketball, but like, look, I'm standing at a tall 5'7", y'all. Like, you can look on our YouTube banner or on our like Podbean banner. I'm the shortest one of us. It's pretty great.
I'm 5'9".
Yeah. Yeah. Even Daly's taller than me.
I applaud you, Robert, because you don't have to put this out there, but you threw out the number,
look,
man.
I'm not that short man energy.
No one's forcing your hand here.
No one can stomp on
our
my short man.
Our butts are on the internet.
That's
guys.
True.
Just the butt.
Just the butt.
Proudly, by the way, I should say.
I'm 6'3", so I don't have anything to worry about.
Colin, guys. Oh, you didn't so have to say you, anything.
Yeah,
but...
Since we asked.
I mean, yeah, if we're doing it out there.
I love this double standard of I'm brave to say how tall I am, but for Colin, he's a real piece of shit.
Damn you and your genetics.
No one cares.
No one cares.
That's all. That sounded mean, but I didn't mean to sound mean.
There you go.
Hey, I can hide my beer belly well. That's about all I can.
There you go. But let's go down a quick bullet point list of all the new things we learned about our boy Ryo Tawatari. 26 years old, pro basketball player, point guard. He studied abroad in America for, I assume, college, because that's where he went immediately after high school, and is where he learned English. And he actually talks to Pepe a little bit in English, like, where are you from and stuff.
Play Stay Fall.
So, you know, for once, we actually have a lot of English speakers in the house. Like, I mean, I guess that happened a lot in Aloha State, but, you know, that was Hawaii, right? Like, here, this is Japan.
And I was surprised, too, to hear Kaori say, oh, they speak English pretty good.
Mm.
That's the first time I think I heard her say anything in English.
God, that moment was so surreal. Like, everyone was suddenly speaking English. And I was like, I feel like I had, like, a stroke or something. I was like, wait, we're not supposed to be speaking English.
Yeah.
But I
it
like
twists
how,
your brain.
I like how when he initially was, like turned to Pepe and he's like, where are you from? And then Pepe answered in Japanese. And he was like, oh, I'm Italian. He's like, oh, okay.
Mm. And I can also totally hear Pepe's Italian accent when he's speaking Japanese now that I'm listening for it. And it was just so weird when they opened the door, they busted out of the guy's room, right? And they're like, so you want to see the playroom, eh, guys?
Is
it
up here?
Is this it? That's the playroom. This is it? That's it?
You can play with this.
You can play with this. And I was like, man, he sounds like Mario.
Okay. So he is now Charles Martinet. Martinet? How do you say that?
Charles Martinet. It's so funny how, too, when they come out of the playroom, Ruka's just following the two of them like a puppy. And Cowdy's just like, he's translating for them now.
This he's way. For Ruka. He said, this way. This
over
way.
Here? Over there? Okay. They're just going to practice kidding. And hope. And he's hopefully practicing. Ruka. Some of this will rub off on him, right? And Yama even brings it up too, like Ruka's really lucky and fortunate to be in a type of house where he can grow so much. And this is where they have the infamous bros before hoes conversation in the playroom, and we've kind of already touched on it, but it was definitely a moment. Hoes?
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, we
don't address me as a hoe. Only I can address me as a hoe.
We talked about a lot earlier. If you missed that, how? But also rewind, I guess. But I think this whole scene, it gave me, in a weird way, it gave me hope, right? Because at the end of the day, they're teaching Ruka the wrong lessons, but the lesson is still in English. So he is learning
it's
English.
It's progress. Progress, yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. Hey, we know that you understand English. If you're listening out there and you'd like to be on Tadaima as a guest.
Our weekly solicitation for new guests on our show.
I'm just saying, if they understand English.
A weekly pattern.
Yeah. I assume everyone in the house listens to us.
Clearly.
Oh, yeah. Religiously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's real.
Sure. For sure. No, but I was just going to say, I thought it was interesting that it was like one of the first things that they talked about. Like Ryo came in and he was like, okay, let's talk about what the playing field is like here. Let's talk strategy. Like, what if, you know, I want to watch a movie with one of the girls? Like, do you guys like have an issue with that? Or like he's showing his priorities is what I'm saying.
And that's appreciated, I think, by the guys. But I also think that I forgot about this whole other kind of layer here, this whole other arc in this episode. But thanks for reminding me, because Pepe kind of underhandedly extracts information out of Ruka here.
Yeah.
Right. He like asks him that leading question saying, oh, so you like Emika, don't you? And Ruka, simple Ruka, simple. You know, it's just like, yeah, wait. No. What? Huh? No, that was hypothetical. Right. Oh, I didn't mean that. But it's true. And it's just, it was totally a little underhanded. It was a little sneaky by Pepe, I think, to do that. But it's interesting because I think Pepe's maybe not necessarily being honest here when he says, yeah, that's fine. We come to find that out later this episode, I feel.
Yeah, I don't think he's being honest. When they sat down with Ryo in the playroom and had this conversation, we don't get moments like this too often where someone's like, okay, like, I'm just trying to figure out where everyone's at in the house right now. Mm-hmm. Who likes who? I don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Yeah, I remember, wasn't it Noah and Shohei from OND is a conversation like this sticks out? That was the ma moment. Mm.
Yeah, but Noah just went ahead and did whatever the hell he wanted. Yeah. And Shohei was a second thought.
He steamrolled him, yeah.
Here, Ryo is like, as soon as he gets in the house, he's already like, hey, just tell me now. And we'll make sure everyone's happy.
He's incredibly conscious of it. Like, you know, he's being very conscious about it. And even at this final scene, even as he's getting a date with Emika, he's like, is this cool? Like, he's looking around the table. So he's incredibly conscious, but I also think he's incredibly confident. I think he can read the room. It's very obvious, I think, that he's getting attention from the three girls, you know, pretty much right off the bat. And it's kind of funny, too. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but when he asks people to go to the store, they're all basically chomping at the bit.
Kind of. They almost all want to go. A field trip.
Yeah. Trip. They were like, he's basically like, hey, who out of the girls wants to go to the combini with me? And it's like, it's just like, okay, anyone? Any takers?
What a great way to like socialize, too, and get to know people now. Like, more. Like, how has this not happened before on the show?
Yeah. I think here what we're seeing is a version of Uchi, but actually confident and has actually socialized a bit before. Because with Uchi had the same approach of, I want to go out with all the girls and get to know them. It was a very, very forward thing, right? The Uchi week, that was very forward.
Yeah.
Ryo is coming in with a similar vibe, but his energy is vastly superior. He's so much more cocky. Like, he knows he's hot shit, so he can kind of do what he wants here.
He's self-confident.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I actually applaud that. You know, he puts in the work to be a elite athlete, and, you know, and so that comes with certain benefits. It just does socially.
Yeah. So I kind of appreciate the vibe he's bringing in the same way that, I guess, you know, every new person in this house so far has brought something interesting with them, right? Pepe has brought in a very happy, vibrant energy. Emmy is bringing that little bit of mysterious, little bit of cutesy, little bit of funny vibe to her. And then Ryo is coming in with just this big dick energy of just monster. He just knows.
I wasn't expecting you to put it that you're right. Yeah, I mean,
he's only 5'9", but okay. Do the math.
Yep. That's how that works.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
I leave my case.
A friend, I guess.
I stated my case.
Something like that. So he actually comments on, though, that how little things he actually brought with him to the house.
Like,
little things he brought with him. Just funny timing there. Sorry.
I get what we're talking about now. Oh, that was sneaky.
What we're saying is he wears big socks.
He's an athlete. He has those big feet for the balance. Right.
Yeah. No. My point is, he's like, I didn't even bring a toothbrush. Like, I need to go to the convenience store.
Was it calculated so he had an excuse to ask somebody to walk with him?
But knowing him at this point, probably.
Who wouldn't bring a toothbrush to a new house?
You know? You forget sometimes. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
We'll see.
It seems pretty rushed.
I give him more credit if he planned it, though. Dale, I give him more credit because that's like, wow, that's fucking smart. Yeah.
Maybe if he had a Quip toothbrush, insert sponsor.
Yep.
Please sponsor us, someone.
Crest.
Yes, it's Crest.
So Cody offers herself as tribute here and falls on the sword and walks with Ryo to the convenience store, where they both kind of exchange, you know, oh, what's your hobby? I love that Cody points out that's such a generic, like, you just had to hit that bullet point, huh?
What a classic question.
Yeah, but it is kind of fun that it made me think about all the people in the house and how most of them really have turned most of their hobbies into careers in some ways. Cody drew as a hobby and now she draws for a living. Ryo with basketball, Pepe with manga, Ruka with being Spider-Man.
No.
we don't know what Emmy one step closer.
Do we know what Emmy goes to college for? Yeah, we just know she's a student.
Oh, I think she said it. I forget.
She's thinking about becoming a flight attendant. She wants to serve people, help people. Okay.
Right.
Which I think is very noble.
There's no flight attendant degree. Like, I didn't get a master's in flight attendant.
Hospitality. I'm telling you know what? Don't downplay that job, because not anyone can just walk and get that job. No, you got to be fucking.
No, I agree. Qualified. I don't know if that's a degree, is it?
I don't know if it's a degree, but you can't just be anybody and be a flight attendant.
It's 100%.
Maybe it's like one of those things where you want like a generalized degree in like Jack said, hospitality or something like that. Like the same way you'd want like an English degree to get like a writing job, maybe.
Right.
Sounds more like a trade almost.
Yeah.
Respect to those flight attendants. I love y'all.
Yeah. They go through hard shit. So
thanks for the snacks.
And give out snacks. Snacks. Very important job of giving out snacks.
Legitimately it keeps me sane on a flight, though.
Yeah, do not.
I'm not trying to downplay that.
The snacks are a factor on a flight,
for sure.
It's absolutely a factor.
In this moment, though, we also learned that Ryo does yoga on the weekends, which I did not expect, but good for him for doing that. I think yoga.
Gotta maintain
healthy.
That body.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. He does yoga and then he does something else too after
then
that.
Then he gets lunch and then he goes to the movies.
Goes to the movies.
Sounds like Kyrie said it's a very girly weekend, but to me sounds like a dream weekend.
Oh, same.
I'm down with that. Yoga's tough. Yoga's tough, y'all.
Yoga's kung fu on yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to the panel, and of course, Yu thinks Ryo is so hot. So hot. Oh, so good.
Kakoi.
It's pretty typical now, I think. I think Yu has found every new guy attractive this season, right? Pepe and Naudio.
Yeah, she's there for it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, she's feeling it.
Tai Chi.
She's enjoying herself.
Yeah. No, she is. Yu's having a lot of fun.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I
Ryo, I don't think he's the cutest boy. I don't think he's as cute as you says.
I'll tell you what, just being a professional athlete has a lot to do with it. I mean, because he can provide.
Oh, absolutely.
He's self-sustaining. Being a professional athlete says a lot of things without saying it. It's like you're very focused, you're very goal-oriented, you're competitive, you can execute, you can get things done, you care for your body. A lot of traits that are very virtuous.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and
he's got the personality down, that's for sure.
The professional thing is the biggest factor, I think, because it's not just, oh, he maintains his body and et cetera, but he does it so well that people have decided, I'm going to give you money because of the fact that you do that, you know?
Yeah, he's an elite athlete.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, if he was just, a hobbyist, cool. I play basketball every weekend with my friends.
Pickup games.
That's cool, but it's not as necessarily as cool as I get paid pro. To do this. Yeah, I'm a pro.
Pro.
Yeah. So no, Jack's right on that. I think it comes with a lot of respect. We go now to the first floor where all the boys are at the table. And then at this point, Pepe asks, hey, how was your first quote unquote date? It's very cute and kitschy, right? And it's I think the last moment Pepe realizes he needs to take off the kid gloves with Ryo because Ryo is a real contender now.
It's happening fast. All the girls have their eyes on him.
Oh yeah.
Within the first hour, probably.
There was tension. It was kind of uncomfortable. Finally wasn't just happy go lucky Pepe. Mm. I think he was kind of starting to realize oh.
Yeah, Pepe's a little threatened, and they say bros before hoes, but Pepe's feeling the pressure.
Yes. He's not as bros before hoes as he would like us to think, maybe.
I don't think so.
But regardless, Ryo is like, okay, cool. Can I go shower? Because, I haven't done that yet. And I'm sweaty as all hell, as Jack said earlier. And he needs to wash all six of his packs. And he goes to the bathroom.
One bar soap for each one.
Yeah, it's the only way to get them clean. He just grinds them onto his
I just imagine trying to balance one bar of soap after the other onto
Might as well do my laundry while I'm in here too. He's got his clothes.
His literal washboard abs. Yeah.
Oh my god.
But he goes to the bathroom and it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
There's water in the tub. Stagnant. There's dirty drawers in there. There's freaking towels all over the floor. I was appalled.
Disgusting.
It was gross.
It was disgusting.
I didn't think it looked like that. It was edited like a horror movie to me. Yeah. I thought this was about to be some psycho shit.
Yeah. It looked like crime scene photos, didn't it?
A little bit.
This is the very first time we've seen into a bathroom, isn't it?
Into
a bathroom in the house.
Maybe.
Might be right.
Can't think of one. Yeah. Can't think of one in this house.
And the most horrifying shots ever of the bathroom.
Yeah, it was super low lit and Ruka's trunks were in the bathtub full of water. There was towels all over the place that were sopping
what
wet.
What the shit, Ruka?
And it was what the fuck is happening in this bathroom?
Yeah, to be fair, maybe they just didn't anticipate having a new roommate day of.
Yeah.
Right? It could have, I mean, obviously caught them by surprise. I would like to think that if they knew they should be expecting somebody, they would have cleaned up a little bit, at least, knowing a new person would come in the house. And also, to be fair, Shohei did fucking blindside everybody here by leaving.
For me, though, the way they reacted, though, after he came back and he was like, oh, it's a nice bathroom, but there's towels everywhere. Can we keep that clean? The way they both kind of looked ashamed, it made me think that this is a chronic issue.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just so sorry. We didn't have time. That to me read we're filthy animals and this is a problem.
And maybe is also posturing a little bit, maybe inadvertently on Rio's part where, Kaori and Emmy are there at the table and maybe he's like, hey, I'm actually clean. This doesn't meet my standards. You boys are dirty. So maybe, again, not on purpose, but that's kind of what was communicated to the girls, I feel.
I want to fight for Ruka and Pepe here for a second, though. They're both busy guys. Pepe draws manga day in, day out, literally all the time. And Ruka works 3 days a week, guys. We can't.
Oh, God.
He's busy.
And, yes, it's strangely, I think we can all say we were kind of shocked at how dirty it was. And no one wants to move into a house and do a bathroom that looks like that. Nobody wants that.
Mm.
But, to his credit, Ruka says, listen, I'm here at home a lot. I'll be the one to clean it. Please don't clean it. And they all kind of have a laugh about it.
Yeah. I hope this is the start of Ruka taking some serious initiative, because I think we've seen him go through a lot of phases where he gets told he should learn English, and then he kind of doesn't, and then he finally says, okay, I'll go learn English. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, we see him go through a lot of these phases, but nothing really, he doesn't deliver. So let's, I hope next week we see he delivers and actually cleans up the bathroom, but who fucking knows with that kid.
Please, Ruka.
Last major thing that happens in this episode is Cowdy was talking with Emmy about how, oh, when I was walking with Ryo earlier, you know, we talked a little bit about baseball. He's into baseball. You should ask him to go to baseball. And then Emmy just jumps like a deer in headlights, but positive, just jumps at the opportunity to ask Ryo, hey, do you want to go see the Baystars game next week or whatever? It's on Friday. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah. Let's go. Is that cool? Pepe,
perfect timing.
Ruka, is that cool?
Double checking everybody. And, of course, cool?
And Pepe's like, yeah,
why wouldn't
bros
it be?
Before hoes, right?
They said bros before hoes at the table. What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That would just like lower my opinion of everyone in that
totally
moment.
I agree. And do you think Kaori and Emmy even caught that? I don't even think they know what that is.
Kaori
didn't seem
might
like it based on their reactions.
Kaori might.
You think?
Yeah, it came across though as like everyone just kind of ignored it. It wasn't, there was no real reaction.
Okay, actually, now I think about it, I do feel like Kaori did have, if you go back, like she did have a bit of a reaction on her face, but Emmy definitely didn't. She was, oh, also when, I also want to point this out too, when Kaori said, hey, I was walking to the convenience store with Ryo and he mentioned he wanted to go to the baseball game with you. And then Emmy was just kind of sitting there, kind of quietly looking forward. And then when Ryo addressed her, he's like, hey, is that true or something like that? She pepped up and jumped up in like a split second and was like, yeah, do you want to go? I was like, oh, if I was Pepe there in, or anyone interested in her at that time and seeing her reaction there, my heart would just sink like, oh.
Yeah, I think
it was a good
feeling. What's funny here is I want to dig a little bit into Pepe's brain here. I think he is the one who's the most sad about this, right? I think because... think about it. We started this episode. I don't know about you guys. I started this episode thinking, oh, man, Pepe and Emmy, that's a lock. They're both having so much fun at the beach. They're hanging out. Day. They're vibing pretty well. And now I'm just like, they're not ever going to get together because Ryo walked into the house and just scored a slam dunk. But
I mean, yeah,
I think what Pepe was trying to do there was deflect it a little bit on Ruka. When he said bros before hoes, he was kind of saying it in a way to say to Ruka, hey, Ruka, it's okay, right? Bros before hoes.
Deflect the embarrassment. That's exactly what he was doing. He was basically using Ruka as a human shield here so no one would pay attention to how he is reacting to this, but he's having the most reaction. And I get that too. Like, I did think they had a great date. It was positive, good vibes, good music, good times. His tail was wagging the whole time. They took funny selfies, but I definitely feel like that's more a friendship. I didn't get really like strong chemistry, romantic chemistry during that. Now that I'm thinking about it in 2020 hindsight, but there is definitely a clear attraction I think between Emmy and Ryo. And listen, I'm not trying to like put anybody in a box here at all, but I mean, she is, you know, a younger college student who, I mean, of course she's gonna be attracted to the hot, fit professional basketball player in the house. I mean, to me, that's very obvious. You know, it's like duh, of course she's gonna be at least attracted on a physical level. We don't know anything about him yet. He could totally be a total creeper or a total douche. We don't know yet. He's definitely a bro. You know, I mean, he's a bro type. He's a jock type. That comes with its pluses. That comes with its minuses. And the girls are going to find out. So it's really on him. But physically, first impression, you know, couldn't do much better. But time will tell. He's going to have personality, too, if he's wanting a relationship with anybody.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. This first impression of Ryo, he seems okay so far, right? Like he's definitely cool, confident, and very forward about a lot of things. But right now, my actual like what I think of him, I don't feel like I have enough details yet. I haven't seen him do enough,
sure,
to really fully gauge what he's about.
And he probably can't dunk it either, by the way.
Hey,
I need to see his abs again before I make a judgment.
Yeah,
you need to verify this, Dylan. You just need a stronger.
I'm just saying, man, he could have like a 10-foot vertical leap. We don't know.
Nah, dude. Dude.
That would be scary.
10-foot vertical leap?
I don't know. Five, nine.
Fucking ascends. Like, he T-poses into the sky.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but for someone 5'9 to dunk, not too many that can do that out there. I'm not saying he can't. I mean, watch him dunk next episode. But the main takeaway I got from this final scene is that Pepe is not without his faults. He kind of threw Ruka under the bus. He kind of exposed, took advantage of Ruka's simple nature, you know, and now he's using him as a human shield. So that's kind of not, you know, what I want to see out of Pepe. And he's squirming now and he's reeling because this fucking basketball just got thrown on the chessboard that is Terra's house, and the pieces and everything are flying everywhere. And we'll see how Pepe reacts. Yeah. And we'll see how Pepe reacts, but he's squirming.
I think Leo and Pepe are going to struggle to find chemistry. I think it's going to be one of those things where Pepe is secretly going to harbor a little bit of hard feelings towards Leo. Leo isn't really going to catch on to what's going on until a little bit later. But that's how I think it's going to go. I think the next episode is we're going to see them butt heads a little bit.
I think, yeah, I could see them butting heads, but I'm not quite sure how much Pepe is going to be passive aggressive about this, because I think it was Emika who said that she thinks Ryo might be a lot more straightforward than your average Japanese man because of all the time you spent in America. You know, you spent some formative years after high school in America. So that could make him just, you know, a little more Armand-like than, say,
Westernized.
Yeah, where he'd hold the hands on the first date, you know? But then again, Pepe grew up in the West. He is Italian, hot-blooded by nature, you know, if we're going to go by stereotypes here. So I could totally see them kind of butting heads and, you know, maybe not exactly being bros before hoes.
Yeah, that's my last point, too. I was just thinking when Colin was commenting there as well. I mean, they are opposite sides of the spectrum. You know, Ryo, popular, attractive, assertive. You know, physical, like physically he uses his athleticism to make money, whereas Pepe, you know, taller, skinnier, smooth still as butter, but he uses his creativity, you know, as his outlet there. And also Pepe, if you read his manga, it's all about kind of being inept romantically. You know, he's trying to downplay his smoothness. He's trying to come across a little more of like, you know, just again, like I said, just a little, kind of a loser kind of guy, but they're nice guys that, you know, it's just different than being a pro basketball player with a six pack. So they might butt heads here. It's going to be interesting. If anything here, these last three people that joined the house have shaken things up and they're an improvement. So I'm glad to see this trend happening in part two. That's my last thought.
Yeah. What I like a lot about Io is that I think I like him. He seems like a nice enough guy. I do like that he does joke around a bit with Pepe, you know, like he says when he's going to the convenience store, like, oh, you'll be happy if I just pick you up some prosciutto and cheese, right? It's, you know, like he's having a little fun.
That was cute.
Oh, was that a slight?
I think that was just like a friendly jab, you know, like, oh, you're Italian. You have to like prosciutto and cheese, right? Which might be true.
Bro, they're bros now.
Yeah, like they're very friendly. Yes. So I like the energy he has. I think he'd be a fun person to like get a beer with. And I also like that he is changing up the dynamic in the house a little, right? He's making it interesting to watch. At the same time, I don't like him because my boy Pepe, you know, my boy Pepe.
I
hope they don't get to the point where they're fighting where we have to choose sides now. I hope they avoid that.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I hope they become friends.
I want them to be bros.
Yeah, bro
and
it
I
up.
I don't want them to treat people as hoes.
Don't let the hoes get between the bros.
Or think don't of them as hoes.
Call women hoes.
Yeah, and don't do that either. That's bad.
But Ruka. Yeah. Ruka, please, no. This impressionable young boy.
Ruka's going to have no fucking clue what's going on between the two of them, if there's anything.
Oh, man.
He's going to be clueless.
You know, and Ruka is into Emmy, too. So this is just kind of tough for him all around, huh? Like, he just has...
It's going to be, like, after the fact, if there's ever, like a big, like, throwdown for Emmy's love. And he's like, wait, I thought I had a chance with her.
Yeah, I guess the lesson
here... where did you get web shooters?
The takeaway here, though, is that if you're a girl and you're trying to attract guys, it seems like it's very simple, and it always has been. You just ask if they want a beer.
While cocking your hip.
Yeah, guys love just saying, hey, do you want to have a beer with me?
Important.
Hip is vital. Because
she got all three of the guys now. You know, she's on all three of their radars.
That's interesting.
I guess, man.
Is this the first time in the Terrace house we've seen that all the guys are into the same girl?
Have to think about it, but maybe.
Yeah, I can't.
Let us know, guys. Drop it in the comments.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I think it might be.
Maybe.
Emmy has stolen all of their
hearts.
I can't
wait to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Like, every time we record one of these, I'm like, all right, finally, I can get to watch the next one. Can't binge it like y'all lucky motherfucker.
I'm excited about the next episode, because the name of it is The Stray Sheep. And I think this is going to be Ruka being lost. Like, just in general, but also in his love life.
I try not to read those titles because they seem spoilery. But this is ambiguous enough.
Y'all nerds, tell me something. Isn't that like y'all the nerds. Name of something important in Catherine Full Body?
The Stray Sheep?
The Strays.
That's the name of a bar. Yeah.
They have sheep.
Hi, nerd reporting in. Yes, I know what Catherine is.
Thank you.
Yeah,
nice. Thank
it's
the name of the bar. Reporting in. But yes. Now I'm wondering, will it have something to do with that?
I'm not
probably
a nerd.
Not.
I'm not a nerd. I'm a hoe, so I can't answer
that. Oh, right. I identify also as a
Yo,
hoe.
What if Ryo is actually a hoe?
What if the real hoe here is the friend we made along the way?
What if the real hoe was the friends we made along the way?
I think that if he is a hoe, it'll make the show very interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's have a hoe down, y'all.
There it is. And with that, let's wrap up this week's episode.
G's up, hoes down.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, any slam dunk theories that you think we missed in this week's episode, you can email all those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, join our Discord, etc. All those links are down below. You can catch us next Tuesday, where we're going to cover episode 19 of Tokyo 2019-2020, The Stray Sheep, of course named after the bar from Catherine, as Daily wants us to believe.
We'll see.
Indeed. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itakimasu.
Don't call me bro.
Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.